yet this morning. But we have a meeting scheduled for 11. You're 3 minutes early, came Timoshenko's voice from behind him. Turning, Habib saw the Russian walking toward him. Timoshenko looked terrible, his eyes red and puffy, as if he had not slept all night. I have good news for you, Habib said by way of greeting.
Good, said Timoshenko, almost in a growl. I could use some news that's good for a change.
5 minutes later, Habib was sitting beside Timoshenko at the little round table in a corner of the maintenance chief's office. One wall screen was filled with a set of graphs displaying complex curves.
So you're telling me that Titan is causing the power surges? Timoshenko asked, eyeing the graphs suspiciously.
I don't know if Titan is the cause of the surges, Habib replied, but they correlate very closely with the position of Titan and the other major moons in their orbits around Saturn. Timoshenko grunted. Pointing to the graphs, Habib explained,
We get the power surges whenever Titan and the other major moons line up on the same side of Saturn.
In a heavy, low voice, Timoshenko muttered,
That's why the surges are grouped approximately every 2 weeks. Titan's orbit is 16 days.
Yes, and it explains why you can go for months without any surges at all. That's when the outer moons are not on the same side of the planet as Titan.
You're certain of this?
The mathematics are definitive, Habib said, with some pungency in his tone. He didn't like having his calculations questioned.
But what's causing it? What we have here looks like astrology, not physics.
Habib shrugged. You'll have to ask Wonderly or one of the astrophysicists. I am a mathematician. Pointing to the wall screen display, he added, You asked me to tell you how to predict when the surges will come, and that's what I've done.
Timoshenko nodded. Yes, so you have.
Turning slightly in his chair, he called out,
Phone! Get Dr. Wonderly. Top priority.
4 May 2096. Evening. The cocktail reception was ostensibly to welcome the shipload of biologists and planetary scientists who had arrived from Earth in the wake of Wonderly's confirmation that Saturn's rings harbored living organisms. Urbane's entire scientific staff, as well as the habitat's most prominent citizens, were there to greet the newcomers. Ordinarily, Urbane would not have invited Manuel Gaeta. After all, the man was not a scientist. Nothing more than an entertainer, a stunt performer, little more than a trained ape. But Gaeta was living with Dr. Cardenas, who was a Nobel laureate. Urbane could not invite her without having him come along. Besides, Urbane needed this trained ape. The party was at the lovely lakeside bandshell at the foot of the gentle hill on which the village of Athens was built. Champagne flute in hand, Urbane saw Pancho Lane and her sister with a pair of men he couldn't quite place. He leaned toward his wife and asked her who they were. Jean-Marie told him that the older, taller of the two men was Pancho's companion, a former admiral. The other was the engineer that the habitat had taken in when it passed Jupiter.
Ah, yes, Urbane murmured, recognizing the somber-faced younger man. Tavalera is his name, I believe.
And there was Eberly, of course, with his clack following wherever he went. Urbane suppressed a frown. The chief administrator was totally in his element, surrounded by admirers, smiling and chatting and laughing with them.
Gaeta, Urbane said to himself. I must get to Gaeta.
He saw that the stuntman and Dr. Cardenas were standing by the lake's edge, deep in earnest conversation with Wonderly.
Strange, he thought. Wonderly should be the center of attention at this reception, yet she is off to one edge of the crowd with her little circle of friends.
Urbane shook his head. She has much to learn about the politics of science, he told himself. Taking his wife's free hand, Urbane said to the women she was chatting with, Excuse us, if you please. I must speak with Dr. Wonderly for a few moments. And he led Jean-Marie toward the little group at the water's edge. Wonderly was babbling away non-stop to Chris Cardenas. Gaeta stood with the two women, barely understanding a word of what Wonderly was saying.
So when Daoud showed me the graphs he'd worked up, I ran through the vids of the ring spokes, and sure enough they correlated to 5 9s, Wonderly gushed.
The spokes correlate with Titan's position? Cardenas asked, gesticulating so forcefully that she sloshed champagne onto the grass, making Gaeta jump nimbly out of the way. Wonderly said,
"Yes. We'd wondered what caused the spokes, and now we've got an explanation. Just in time for me to go back to Earth."
"The spokes?" Gaeta asked, frowning slightly. "You mean those lanes of dust in the rings?"
Wonderly nodded vigorously. "The dust lanes that rise above the plane of the ring particles and then drift down again."
"Like they're doing the wave at a ball game," Gaeta said.
"The wave?" Wonderly looked puzzled.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the gathering of partygoers, Yolanda Negroponte was deep in conversation with four of the biologists who had just arrived from Earth. She had come to the reception alone, dressed in a simple off-white mini-skirted frock that showed her long legs to advantage. She had phoned Habib several times during the course of the day to ask him to escort her to the party, but he had not answered her calls. Now she stood at the center of the little group of newcomers, trying to keep up the conversation with them while looking out over their heads, scanning the crowd for Habib. "He's afraid of me," she said to herself. "I came on too strong." Yet she knew that if she did not pursue Habib, he would drift away from her. "Why must he be so difficult?" she asked herself. "And why must you insist on going after him?" asked a voice in her mind. "There are lots of other men here. You could have your pick of them." But it was handsome, gentle, shy Habib who interested her. He was such a tiger when he got angry. "Have you done a DNA analysis yet?" Negroponte barely heard the question. It took an effort for her to focus on the quartet of biologists around her, two men, two women. "Preliminary," she responded. "The cellular structure has a nucleus and what appears to be nucleic acids, although their chemical composition is completely different from terrestrial DNA."
"And their structure? Is it a double helix like ours or triple like the Martian biota?"
Negroponte shook her head slightly. "There's no evidence of helical structure at all."
"Not helical?"
"We've done gamma ray diffraction and MRF microscopy. The nucleic acids appear to be a crystalline lattice."
"That's impossible."
Negroponte smiled knowingly at the flustered little man, who didn't quite come up to her shoulder. "Come to my lab tomorrow and I'll show you." Then her smile widened into genuine warmth. She saw Habib among the partygoers, looking very handsome in a forest green suit. And he was pushing his way through the crowd, heading toward her with a champagne flute in each hand.
"Look at how beautifully the lake reflects the lights of the shell in the land above," said Jean-Marie to her husband. He ignored her, his attention bent on Wonderly, Gaeta and Cardenas standing down by the water's edge. "Good evening," Urbain said as he and his wife got to within earshot. "Are you enjoying the reception?" Wonderly grinned at her boss. "The food's good," she answered, eyeing the nearest table. It was laden with finger foods and surrounded by guests. Robot waiters from the bistro. Squat little flat-topped machines that rolled silently on tiny trunnions were busily bringing up replenishment trays, marching like a line of ants from the restaurant in the village to the tables scattered across the grass. "You have made a great contribution to science," Urbain said graciously to Wonderly. "I will be sorry to see you leave the habitat." Both he and Wonderly knew that Urbain had opposed her single-minded concentration on the rings. Urbain had wanted everyone on his staff to focus on Titan. Wonderly had held out stubbornly and won. "I couldn't have made the contribution without you, Dr. Urbain," she said, equally congenial. "I owe all my success to you."
"Not at all," he said, but he beamed at her.
"I think we made another major breakthrough today," Wonderly said.
"Oh?
The spokes in the rings correlate with the positions of Titan and the outer moons." Urbain stared at her for a moment.
"Are you certain of this?"
Daoud Habib's done the correlation, and I checked it with the vids we have of the spoke actions. But what could be the cause of this? Urbain was suddenly engrossed.